Okay, so we're continuing along. We're moving now into Elokai Neshama. And Elokai Neshama, without question, is the most personal morning tefillah that we say, even more than Moda'ani. And the reason it's more personal is because it includes references back and forth to you, to me, making us feel as we're having our own personal conversation with Hashem. And the Shaar Tshuva writes that in Elokai Neshama, we express our gratitude, our Hakaras HaTov, for receiving our neshamas anew each morning. Because as we know, Chazal say, sleep is 1/60th of death. And the bracha is not a bracha about Tchias HaMesim, because we say Elokai Neshama in a present tense, not in a future tense. So it's talking about the getting up each morning. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that Asher Yatzar is said in appreciation for the guf, the body that we have that's working. And Elokai Neshama is the counterpart, which is the bracha for that Hashem grants us our neshama, our soul. And the neshama, which is, we know it's internal, it travels from the highest worlds, comes down to give us life to our bodies, it supplies us with the wisdom to toil in Torah and perform mitzvos. And if we're required to thank Hashem for the appreciation that our bodies are working and function properly, so certainly we're required to do so for the neshamos, which Hashem personally created and breathed into each one of us. So the bracha starts with the word Elokai. And we start this personal tefillah with the Shem Elokim, which is that he's all-powerful. And we're saying not only, as we said in the brachos prior, he's Elokeinu, he's our Hashem, the Hashem of Klal Yisrael, but he's Elokai, he's my personal Hashem. And how much love that's shown in this world, that it's Bishvili Nivra Olam, it's just for me this entire world. We continue saying Neshama Shenasatabi. Why are we so close to Hashem? It's because of the Neshama that Hashem has given us. And Shimon Schwab tells us, we're referring here to the personal and unique neshama, which is unlike anyone else's neshama. Be, meaning it's mine, it's me, it's uniquely personal to me. And Hashem breathed something, some of his uniqueness into each of us. And as the Torah tells us, Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, that by Adam, Hashem blew into his nostrils a living soul, and the Zohar says, man denofach mitochei nofach, that when one blows into someone else, he blows something from himself into him. And therefore, when Hashem blows the neshama into us, he's blowing a part of him into us. And Rav Shimon Schwab continues and says that when we say this tefillah, we should be aware of our own individual personality, that we have this neshama that's totally unique again to us. And there are no two neshamos in this world alike. And just like Hashem is echad, yachad, and miyuchad, he's singular and unique, so too our neshamos are singular and unique. No one in this world ever had our neshama. No one in this world will ever have a neshama that's exactly like ours. And what each of us feels, no one else in this world feels. And the most astute psychoanalysis in the world cannot understand the depth of me, only Elokai, only my Hashem, who I have this relationship, can know about me. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus says that there are two ways one can say thank you. One could say, you know, thank you for everything. And that's certainly a level of Hakaras HaTov. But when one's more specific, and he says, thank you for this, and thank you for that, you're now on a much greater level of Hakaras HaTov. And so too in this bracha, we don't just say, thank you Hashem for neshama, we go into detail. It's tahorahi. Hashem, since you're pure, our neshama is pure. And it remains that way, despite the averas that we do. And as opposed to the prevailing religion in the world, where it's taught that man has a sinful soul and is therefore condemned to hell, unless he accepts certain theological beliefs, we believe even the worst criminal has a pure neshama, has a pure soul. The Marsha then continues and says the word neshama encompasses three things. Whenever it's mentioned in the Torah, it means the nefesh, the ruach, and neshama, which are three levels within the person. And there are three parts as the tefillah continues now. Ata v'rasa, you created it, this goes the nefesh. Ata yitzarta, you fashioned it, this goes based to the ruach. Ata nefachtabi, you breathed it into me, and this is referring to the neshama. And Rav Shimon Schwab explains, ata v'rasa means you took yesh me'ayin, and there was nothing here, and you created a neshama from that. Ata yitzarta, you framed it just for me, meaning it's only for me, it's unique as we said. And ata nefachtabi, you gave it to me, and therefore you've given me life. So we go into the details and thank Hashem for each step. We then continue and we say, v'ata mishamra bekirbi, you keep it within me. And Rav Shimon Schwab explains the neshama is very elusive. And it tries to escape from us all the time. Nevertheless, we're thanking Hashem that you keep me alive by allowing and keeping the neshama to stay within me for as long as you see fit that I deserve to have it. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus explains it a little differently. He says the neshama, again, coming from the upper world, has a lot of kedusha. Hashem sticks it into our guf, which is very much the opposite. And the only thing the neshama wants to do is get away. And therefore, again, we're thanking Hashem that if not for him keeping the neshama in our guf, that, you know, we would have nothing left. And therefore, v'at the neshama v'kirbi, it's you who keeps it within me. We then continue, v'at ha'osid litlo mimeni, you will one day take it back from me. And although we say this every day, referring to the eventual demise, and we know that it's going to happen, we don't get sad and we don't become afraid, because we also know, l'achziru bi'losid lovo, that he's going to return it to me when he sees fit. And we say, B, that despite the fact that my body will decay after death, Hashem will recreate me. Will begin, my neshama will be in my recreated body at the time of Tchias HaMesim. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus explains, everybody's going to die. We don't know anybody here that's 300 years old. Everything in life we therefore need to prepare for, even death. And we need to be prepared to hand back our neshamas to Hashem, because one who does can therefore then rely that Hashem will give it back to him. And nothing can bring a person to Tchias HaMesim like giving our neshamos back to Hashem. And just like at night, when we go to sleep, we say, B'yodo afkid ruchi, I'm giving you, I'm putting in your hands, I'm giving you back my neshama. And therefore, we then could be boteach, that in the morning we'll get up to say moda'ani. The same is, at the end of each person's days, if he hands back the neshama, he can be boteach of Tchias HaMesim. However, if Hashem has to come and take the neshama from us, then he would not have that same chiyuv, if Pinkus says, to return it to us. And therefore, this is what we're saying, v'yata osid litlo mimeni, is this is the giving that we're going to give it back. And then, once we give it back, l'achzirbi l'osid lavo, you're going to return it to us in the future at Tchias HaMesim. However, kol zman she'neshama bekirbi, in the interim, I'm alive, I'm not concerned about death, and as long as my neshama is within me, Moda'ani lefanecha, I acknowledge that I and all that I have come from you, Ribon Kol HaMasim, the master of everything in the world, from the largest to the smallest creature, everything's from you, Adon Kol Neshamos, you're the personal master of all of every neshama. And then we end the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Hamachzer Neshamos Levgar Mesim, that you restore the souls to the dead bodies. And we conclude this bracha, even though, as we said, the bracha is in present tense, talking about every morning, we conclude the bracha confirming the belief of Tchias HaMesim. And in our daily cycle of sleeping and awakening, we go through some aspect of Tchias HaMesim. And as we mentioned, we said sleep is 1/60th of death. And the fact that we are alive is therefore an act of Tchias HaMesim. So every daily awakening is a Tchias HaMesim that we go through. And we use this mini Tchias HaMesim as a reminder and a confirmation of the essential emunah that we have of the eventual Tchias HaMesim. They raise a question. They say, if you look at the wording of this tefillah, sometimes we use the word be. We say, Elkai neshama shenasat to be, and then sometimes we say, bekirbi, for example, v'at mishamra bekirbi. What's the, and they both technically mean me, what's the difference in this, in the change of language? And the Shlach Kodesh says that B means a higher level of intimacy than Bekirbi. B is an inseparable bond. We're connected. Nothing can separate us. While Bekirbi is just where there's a closeness. We're close to you, but something can get in the way. And what we're saying in here is that the neshama that you placed in me was completely and totally pure. And that purity and inseparability, that closeness, is what you blew into me. And therefore we start and say it's the neshama shenasata B. But then the guf got in the way, and we started to follow our taivos, and we got the neshama dirty. And therefore we drop a level. We only become bekirbi. You know, we're close to you, Hashem, but it's not inseparable anymore. And therefore the absolute pure neshama now needs extra care. It needs watching from Hashem. And therefore v'atem shamer bekirbi, because we're that lower level. However, at Tchias HaMesim, when we get it back, it's going to be clean and pure again, and therefore we say, l'achzira bi, Lasid Lovo, you're going to, you know, again, we're at that close, intimate level again. However, Kol Zman Shana Shamba Bekirbi, but again, talking about now, where we've done Averos, So as long as the neshama is bekirbi in this lower level, moda ani lefanecha, I'm thankful that you put up with this incompetence of the negligent watchman who you gave this precious neshama to, and yet all we do is not watch it properly, and you still give it back. So that is what we're supposed to think about and go through as we say Elokai Neshama. We're going to just do an introduction to Berachas HaTorah, and then we'll spend next week going through the actual brachos. So Berachas HaTorah, so up until this point, we've davened as individuals. We've thanked Hashem for the gifts He's given us, our bodily functions, our neshamos, our personal relationship we have with Him. For the first time, we have a bracha that as a people, as a group, we're thanking Hashem for a relationship with Him. And the Shulchan Aruch writes that one has to be very careful when it comes to Berachas HaTorah. And the Mishneh Berurah explains that one should be careful not to learn Torah before reciting Berachas HaTorah, and it has to be said with a great joy and a great simcha. And Chazal tell us that the loss of Eretz Yisrael came as a surprise to Klal Yisrael. They didn't understand it, because at that time Klal Yisrael was learning Torah diligently. And in history, when Klal Yisrael learns diligently, Hashem ignores the other issues of Klal Yisrael. And yet, Eretz Yisrael was destroyed, and they were surprised. And the Gemara answers that the reason Eretz Yisrael was destroyed was because the people did not say Berachas HaTorah before they started to learn. So, obviously, the question is, okay, you didn't say Berachas HaTorah, but why such a devastating punishment? So the Ran explains that Hashem knew that when they were learning Torah, it was not motivated for the intentions of purity. They didn't learn and appreciate the uniqueness of Torah. Torah to them was another subject. You learn science, you learn math, you learn Torah. And that lack of respect therefore stopped them from saying Berachas HaTorah, the same way you don't make a bracha on any other subject. We didn't therefore make it on Torah either. And therefore, Torah, which is not accompanied with this proper respect, does not protect Klal Yisrael as Torah normally does. And therefore, we have to be careful with these brachos to show the gratitude to Hashem, that He chose us as His nation, He gave us this gift, His beautiful Torah, and that we're learning it for those reasons. And the Bach explains, another reason is that they used to learn Torah, not that the neshama should become pure and holy, and they should get kedusha from the Torah, but it was in order that they should gain wisdom and fame. They wanted the pat on the back. They wanted everyone to say, oh, here comes so-and-so, you know, look what he's accomplished. And this improper form of learning is therefore why they lost Eretz Yisrael. And the Mishneh Berurah says that there are those that even hold these brachos of Berachas HaTorah are midoraisa. And therefore, again, we should be very careful with that. And Shimon Schwab tells us that the Gemara says that the basis of Berachas HaTorah is from the pasuk of Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godol Elokeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael that when we call the name of Hashem, meaning when you sit down to talk about Torah, you should first talk about the greatness of Hashem and give Him, something back. And the Matei Moshe writes that once you give thanks and praise to Hashem for the wisdom of the Torah that He presented to us, as we say, Ki hu chayecha v'arech yomecha. And as a reward for concentrating properly when we say Berachas HaTorah, then a person merits extraordinary wisdom in being able to learn Torah. And just as reciting brachos on food properly brings bracha and abundance from Hashem to our food supply, and being careless in brachos like that causes it to dwindle, similarly, one can bring the wealth of Torah knowledge and wisdom upon himself and his family if he's careful in saying these brachos properly. And alternatively, he can cause the continuum of his Torah lineage to be interrupted if he does not. And as the Gemara in Nedarim asks, why is it uncommon for a Talmud Chacham to have children that are Talmidei Chachamim? And this is back from the Gemara's time. By us, we see it a lot. But even in the Gemara, they had these issues. And Ravina answers and says the reason is because, again, they did not make the brach of Berachas HaTorah before learning Torah. And the Mishneh Berurah says also the same thing, that one who's not careful to recite Berachas HaTorah properly will not merit to have children that are Talmidei Chachamim. So one has to be careful, as we're going to get into these brachos, to therefore say them properly in order not only for our own Torah, but for the continuum of our family's Torah. Rav Shimshon Pinkus points out there are a lot of things here in when it comes to Berachas HaTorah and Talmud Torah that come in pairs. There are two brachos. There are two parts of learning. There's the mitzvah of learning, and there's the depth of the learning. At Matan Torah, there were two parts. There was the giving of the Torah, and there was the bris that Hashem made with us that he separated us from all the nations of the world and brought us close to him. There was also a general Kabbalah Satorah for Klal Yisrael, where Klal Yisrael got the Torah. There was also an individual Kabbalah Satorah, where each individual received his own portion of Torah. And as the Nefesh HaChaim tells us, every neshama has a letter in the Torah based on the acronym of Yisrael, Yesh Shishim Riboy Osios LaTorah. And in the introduction to the Shailas Shuvas Ksav Sofer, he explains that at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, when we say in the Yehi Ratzon, we say V'sein Chalkeinu B'Sar Asecha, that every person has his own chelik, and it's shayach only to him, to that person. So we're davening that we're zocha to bring out our chelik. And Rav Shimshon Pinkas asks, he says, why is it when we don't learn we call it Bittel Torah? Why other mitzvahs we don't say it's Bittel Sukkah, we don't say Bittel Matzah, it should be Bittel Zman maybe, but why Bittel Torah? So he explains, he says, the reason it's Bittel Torah is because, again, since each of us got that individual chelik, when we're not learning, we're mevatel something that we were supposed to bring out. We're mevatel an opportunity to develop Torah. And he says, and it goes even further than that, because many times a person might be in a shir somewhere, and he's supposed to ask a question on that shir, or he's learning b'chavrusa and he's supposed to ask a question, and the chavrusa is supposed to then answer it, or someone else in the shir is supposed to answer it. And if you're mevatel, you're going to be mevatel a piece of Torah forever, because if you don't ask that question, he says, that answer will never be able to be developed, and therefore it's called Bittel Torah. And therefore one has to be careful when it comes, as we'll get into going through the brachos next week, one has to be careful to say these brachos carefully, you know, besimcha, happily, with proper kavana, in order to gain what we're supposed to from Torah, and to have children that will have a chance to gain this in the same fashion. We'll close again with the story and with the homework. And maybe if I remember this week, I'll get Rob the homework and he'll then send it to anyone who wants.
On the email list.
Right. So more than 30 years ago, there was this Yosef Goodfarb in Yerushalayim. And he had made a Kabbalah that he would never miss davening with a minyan. Whether it would rain, sleet, snow, slush, he was always in shul and usually one of the first 10. And when he would travel, he would check where their minyanim, plan his trip around it, and there was never such an issue. One night he came home, it was after 3 a.m. He hadn't davened, he lived out in Shuafat, the last minyan there was at 11, so where do you go in Yerushalayim? You go to Zichron Moshe. So he heads out there, gets there, it's 3:15, the building's deserted. There's one other guy in the building. The guy says, no, you daven yet? No, I haven't davened yet. He says, you think we'll get a minyan? The guy goes, I doubt it. They're going to start Vesikin in an hour and a half. I don't think anyone's coming from Arv. So he says, but I need a minion. He says, why? He's saying Kaddish. He says, no, I have this Kabbalah, and I have not missed a minion in decades. So it didn't look like anyone was coming. So Rav Yosef calls up a taxi company and says, can you send me 8 taxis to Zichron Moshe, only Israeli drivers? Dispatcher says, 8 cabs. I don't have 8 cabs at this time in the morning. He says, all right, what do you have? 5. He says, okay. Send me the 5, again, only Israeli drivers. Calls up a second taxi company, says, I need 3 taxi cabs to Zichron Moshe. Again, only you know, Israeli drivers. And everyone's thinking, there's some wedding going on. They need rides home. This is it. Taxis line up, 8 taxis, 10 minutes later. There's nobody waiting. They can't figure out what's the wedding, what's the bar mitzvah, what's going on here. If Yosef comes out and says, gentlemen, start your meters. Come, let's go inside and daven. So he explained to them that he needed the minyan. All right, they all, you know, said fine. Some of them could read Hebrew. Some of them were not familiar with the text. He had to show them where to go with it. Some of them had yarmulkes in the car. And by the time, you know, they got it, they managed, they put the Marv together. After Marv, Rabbi Yosef was ecstatic. He came to the first driver, took out his wallet to pay him. And Moshe, who was religious, said, no, it was an honor to daven with such a holy person like you. I can't take money from you. All right, goes to the second driver, Arik, a secular Jew, again attempts to pay him. He says, I'm not going to take money. He says, the first time I prayed in a long time, it was an honor to be here. And this went on driver after driver, to the point that even one of the drivers actually offered to pay Rav Yosef for the encounter and the late night camaraderie. But we see, you know, when it means something to a person to have a minion, the importance of a minion, you know, what someone can come to. So, you know, we just have to be careful when it comes to davening. You know, if we make it into something important, we'll always be able to have that.
Did he ask for six who didn't daven yet?
That I guess not. I guess. Right.
We need two drivers, yellow cabs. Send the word. Jews only, please.
So the homework, as we've been focusing in the last few weeks on something that has to do with what we're doing with the davening, so the homework this week is to focus on Elokai Neshama a few times over the week, two times, three times, as many as possible. Obviously, if we can get all seven, that would be the best, but at least a few times to make it, you know, what we're supposed to be saying and appreciate our Neshama and the closeness of this relationship we have with Hashem.